Yeah, I became big at least. I hope you become big too. This is
Wonderful.
new, you know. Can you see me
Okay.
big now?
I can, no, you're just small in the corner.
Oh, okay. Well, it seems like Tarja has managed to put in your PowerPoint, so praise the Lord for that. Well, first of
Well.
all, welcome to you, Daniel, and welcome to everyone here. Happy
Thank
Sabbath.
you.
This is wonderful that we have got a new web room, even if it is kind of new, so we have to just learn by failing, I was nearly saying. But I think this will be very good. Here we can show YouTube films as long as we have YouTube and other recordings. So I think this will be great. And we don't have any echo. So praise the Lord for that. Yeah, we are excited to have you with us, Daniel. You have just come back from India.
Yes, I just did. I'm still not even able to sleep at night because of the time change. I've still got jet lag.
Okay. So how many hours is difference?
It was 13 hours, I think.
Okay.
So it was almost on the other side of the world. Just,
Right.
yeah.
Well, is it true that it takes nearly as many days as the hours or difference in the time change?
No, it actually depends on what's happening because you have the effect of how much daylight you get, what kind of food you eat, how much sleep you did get, how many spaced hours you had between your sleep. I mean, how much potassium you get. I mean, the whole thing, it matters. So when I went over there, I had almost no problems at all. I slept the first night perfectly, slept the second night perfectly. When I come over here, though, I couldn't sleep at all the first night, and then what happened is I slept the entire day the first day I was here, which messed up my next night as well, and then it's just been messing up since then. So.
Well, I guess that I wanted to draw as much as possible out of you, so you were working whole day and half night, maybe.
Yeah. And so B3 it looks like helps as well. That's good.
Okay, that's good to
Was
know.
a
If
comment.
okay,
Yeah.
so was it? Do I remember right that it was actually mostly pastors which you were teaching now?
Yes, all of them were interdenominational pastors, and there was
Wow.
only two that came one day for a short time that were Seventh-day Adventists. Everybody else, 35 of them, were interdenominational. So, well, actually, other
Wow.
denominations. Yeah, it was
Wow.
exciting.
Wow. So
Revelation, and my friend Naik was there as well.
they heard about you on YouTube then.
Well, that's somewhere else. That's over in Nepal. Over here in India, there's a guy who is a believer in the one true God. He's been a Seventh-day Adventist in the past, but he's chosen to pull himself away from that denomination because of the faith that they have changed into. And so now he has been interacting with other denominational pastors. And so he invited me to come and share the book of Revelation. And I was able to do a little bit of a web seminar like this with him first. And then I was able to question him and ask what's going on, find out a few things. And then finally, I said, yeah, this is for real. I'm going to go. And I'm so glad I did. So I'm potentially going back again in February. We'll have
Wow.
another meeting with India before I go to Nepal. If in fact I go to Nepal, we're still working on that one. I've
So
asked him if he's ready and he just hasn't responded. So go ahead.
have you had the opportunities to do this before for so many non-Adventist pastors? Is this the first time or?
That's the first time, yeah. And I shared the book of Revelation, which is what I love. So that was exciting, yeah.
Wow, amen.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
well. Let's you can see that the latter rain is going to fall right now soon.
Amen. I'm
Amen.
excited about it.
Yeah. Well, let's pray. Yes, Father in
Please.
heaven, we are just so excited to hear what's going on. And sometimes we can feel alone and that nothing happens, but we know that your spirit is poured out, Lord, and more, the more we come in relationship with you so that you can seal us. We pray, Lord, for all these pastors which Daniel has been acquainted with and teaching and sharing what you have taught him. We are all learners, Lord. We have all so much to learn. So We pray that you will help us to die from self so that you fully can possess us. We pray now, Lord, that you will bless the, Daniel as he's going to share what you have put into his mind to share with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, thank you. So is this being recorded then?
This is recorded, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay, good. Well, praise God. I'm happy to have this opportunity. Thank you again for having us.
Yeah, we are very happy to have you.
So I was going through the book of Revelation again because I have the burden to share that book. I want to know it. I want to understand it. I need to go further through the notes that I've already put together, which are, you know, I've got 104 pages of references. That it doesn't even have the copy and pasted scriptures in there. It just has references. And there are thousands of references in these comments and thoughts and ideas that are trying to understand better the book of Revelation. But one of the things I didn't do at the time that I put it together was understand about the Father and his Son. Neither did I understand very well about the angels at that time and the working of the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to put a couple of notes together the other day for the book of Revelation. And as I was going through the very beginning of the book, I realized, like, wow, this is huge. This is really, really huge. So I put this study together before his throne in the book of Revelation. And so I don't know what I need to do for changing the slides. Do I just click and then it happens? Or how's the process there? I know I did it once. I don't know if I'm supposed to switch it back and forth, or if you do that, I'll just continue going on. So it does say, though, John, to the seven churches in Revelation 1, verse 4, which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. That is the Father. And from the seven spirits, which are, as it says, before his throne. That's the Father's throne. And from Jesus Christ, as it says there in verse 5. And so, right there, we're seeing in the very beginning of the book of Revelation that there are seven spirits before his throne. Now, the question has to be asked, what are these seven spirits? I'm not going to get into the details of this. There is much more to say about the seven spirits. But what I am going to be saying is that these are the angels that are referred to. And we'll be able to see that, actually, as we continue on through this study. But it goes on to say, I'm wondering how to make this a little big for myself, just because I am not able to see it. Oh, that's a little better. He that overcometh, it says in chapter 3, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before, that's the same word, before my Father and before his angels. So I want you to notice in verse 2, or the second slide, which is Revelation 1, verse 4, there's the word before, which is underlined, it's bolded, and it is purple. That's what I did, is I right-clicked on that word, and I searched that specific word to find out what the Bible says about this word before. And I realized it's very often before God's throne. And that's where this idea came from, is before his throne. And so when we're looking at this concept and we see these purple, underlined, and bolded words, it's the same word before, okay? So that's where in the next slide we get to this idea of Revelation 3, verse 5. He that overcomes, he will be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name, and here's this word, before my Father, and before his angels. And so we already know, according to verse, or the first chapter, that the seven spirits were before the throne. You know, the Bible actually teaches that angels are spirits, and we'll see that in just a moment. And so we have these seven spirits before the throne, and then here it's saying that Christ is going to confess his name, the name of the one that has white raiment, before the Father and before his angels. Now, you could also say before the spirits. Now, these, because the Bible says, in as it says in Hebrews, that the angels are spirits. I'm just waiting for this one to get to the next slide. There it is. As the Father is on the throne, Christ is confessing before his Father and those who are there with him, the angels. And this is a reference to 1:4, but also we're going to see later, chapter 8, verse 2 in the book of Revelation. And so it just takes a second when I click to get to the next slide. So I'm waiting for it now. Here it is. So Psalm 104, verse 4, it says, God makes his angels spirits. His ministers are a flaming fire. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 actually says, of the angels, God saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So basically, Hebrews is just quoting Psalms. And we can see two references to the fact that angels are spirits. Now, we know that there are evil spirits in the world. And in fact, it's referred to as, in the Bible, evil spirits. But you never hear about holy spirits. And I think it's because the translators realized, ooh, that's a little too close. But it's the same concept. If an evil spirit is an evil angel, and a holy spirit is a holy angel. And so what we have is these angels are before God's throne. I'm just kind of establishing that thought using Psalm 104 and Hebrews 1. So, getting to the next slide here. To be sure, the angels are not, and I emphasize, not the Holy Spirit. The angels are not the Holy Spirit. In fact, say it with me. The angels are not the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. But they are holy and they are spirits, just as the fallen angels are evil and they are spirits. I want to be sure to help everybody understand that, because I have never said and I have never taught that angels are the Holy Spirit. But what I have said and shown is that angels are used by God to do the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And angels are agents within the agency of the Holy Spirit. Let me explain just a moment, because I think this might be helpful. The Seventh-day Adventist Church that many people are aware of is what we can call an agency. Okay, so on earth, it's an agency. And on earth, not talking about the Father or the Son, but on earth, the highest agent within the agency of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the president. And so under that president, you have other agents, which could be the secretary or the minister to the pastors, the ministerial director, it goes on and on. You also have agencies within the agency of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Some of those agencies would be the divisions, the unions, the conferences, the churches, and you can also refer those to or to those as agents. So a division would be an agent, or a union would be an agent, a conference would be an agent, or a church. I am an agent. You are an agent if you're a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which currently I'm not because I was cast out of the synagogue, but I am a Seventh-day Adventist originally, one of the original faithful Seventh-day Adventists, faithful to the message that God had given in the past 50 years, as we all are familiar. Well, so that's the idea, is the angels are not the Holy Spirit. They are agents within the Holy Spirit. Now, being the fact that the conference president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the highest agent within the agency of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, it doesn't make him the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so if people are saying that I'm teaching that the angels are the Holy Spirit, it would be like me saying that the General Conference President is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That doesn't make any sense at all. It's not that way. So hopefully that clarifies for some. Anyways, Revelation chapter 4, and I think it's verse 5, it says, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire. Now, that's interesting, because these lamps of fire, according to the Bible, it's in Hebrews 1, 7. It says, in fact, let me see if I can go and find that verse again. I think it's, whoops. Now, see, this is actually causing me a little bit of grief here. Yeah, there it is. In chapter 104 of Psalms, verse 4, and also Hebrews 1, verse 7, that it says, his ministers are a flame of fire. Okay? So the idea that the angels are seven spirits and they are lamps of fire, we have here in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. I'll read it again. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. Now, we've already seen in Revelation chapter 1 that there are seven spirits before the throne. We're going to see later in chapter 8 that there are seven angels before the throne. Here, it says there are lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, we know that the seven spirits could be translated seven angels, because we know that spirits are angels. Don't get confused with all this. It'll hopefully become a little bit clearer. But the point is being made that before the throne is Jesus Christ confessing those that are in white raiment, that are willing to stand before the Father as holy beings with that white raiment. We also know that the holy angels, or the seven spirits, or the lamps of fire, are before the throne. And so, we have these angels that are there, and we have Christ that is there, and we have the Father himself sitting on the throne in heaven. I want to be there. I want to be able to experience that and see it firsthand. So waiting for the next slide. It says in chapter 4, verse 6, I think it says, yes, before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. So we have these four beasts that are full of eyes. Like, what is this idea of eyes, this idea of being full of eyes? And they're before the throne. And they're right there with that sea of glass. Well, when you look up what the Bible teaches in regard to the eyes of the Lord, you come away with the clear understanding that they are the angels. The angels are the eyes of the Lord. Like, for example, these four living creatures, these four beasts that are full of eyes before and behind, these are a reference to the angels. And you can see that in the book of Ezekiel, chapters 1 and 10. I think we're going to go to some of those verses now, verses 9 through 12 in Ezekiel 10. When I looked, behold, the four wheels were by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub and another wheel by another cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was as the color of beryl stone. And as for their appearances, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. And it continues on in Ezekiel chapter 10. When I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub and the other wheel by the another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. And did I already read that? Let's see, 9 through, I think I may have clicked the same one, sorry. Ezekiel 10, waiting for the next slide. 11 through 12. When they went, which are the angels, the cherubs, they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. We know that the head of the church is Christ. They turned not as they went. And their whole body, interestingly, that word body is actually flesh. Their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and their wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. So the angels are traveling with these wheels that are full of eyes. And you have these same cherubs, or these beasts in Revelation chapter 4, that are full of eyes before and behind. And it would be like a wheel that is before and behind, if you will, a wheel within a wheel. And you have this whole idea in the book of Ezekiel and Revelation, talking about angels with eyes. And they're the ones that are before the throne of God. So all of this that we're talking about is before the throne. You have the seven spirits, which are the seven lamps, which we know that spirits are angels and lamps of fire are angels. And Jesus Christ is there confessing us before the throne and before his angels. And the whole idea is there before God's throne. It says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, the 24 elders fell down before him. That's the same word, before, that sat on the throne. And they worshiped him that lived forever and ever. And they cast their crown before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So that's in Revelation chapter 4. I said verse 16, but I think it's verse 10. I'm having a hard time seeing that here because it's so little. But yeah, that's what it is. And so then what we have is the next slide as it comes up is going to likely talk about chapter 5. Yes, 5 verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. That's that same word that is before the throne. It's before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, we've got to understand something about this. Excuse me, I'm going to blow my nose here. The reason being is I've lost so much sleep. I'm starting to get a runny nose, and I don't want to get that. Anyways, it says that the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Interestingly, in chapter 5, we have the Lamb taking the book that is at the right hand of the one sitting on the throne, taking it from the throne and receiving it unto himself. And we see the Lamb then sitting on the throne. We can see that idea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and have sit with my Father in his throne. And after that's described in Revelation 3:20, it's actually played out in Revelation 4 and 5. The idea of the Father being alone in heaven and the Son coming in as the Lamb that ends up being a lion and takes a seat on the throne. It's there that the angels, or the 24 elders rather, which I believe are the angels, fall down before the Lamb, which now is on the throne. So we have this whole idea of this word before being most often used as before the Father, before the Son, and even before the angels. And so, by the way, this is not every time the word before is used in this study. It's just most of the times. There are some that are not referred to in this study, but you go ahead and look up for yourself the word before in the original Greek there, and you'll find. But my notes are listed, which are the notes that are being referred to here. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After this, which is after seeing the 144,000, rather, after hearing the 144,000, I beheld, which means he looked, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. So why before the throne and before the Lamb? Because the Father is on the throne and the Lamb is on the throne. They were clothed with white robes and palms were in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. I think it's interesting here how it refers to God sitting on the throne and the Lamb there being with him. And of course, the Lamb is a symbolic term for his Son, because we know his Son is the one that was slain from the foundation of the world to be able to shed his human blood for us so we don't have to perish. Rather, he perished in our place. So I praise him for that. And I'm very grateful that he has been so willing to live and to die for us. Continuing on in Revelation 7, all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now remember, they saw the Father there that was on the throne, and they saw the Lamb that had people before him. But they're praising God, they're worshiping God, and they're saying that all power goes unto God forever and ever. Not mentioning the Lamb, because it's likely that the Lamb is there honoring the Father as well. along with 144,000, because we know that all glory will go to God when he honors his son. And so I think this is really telling there in that section, because we're reading about the praise that God receives by those that are before his throne. Revelation chapter 7, and it says verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him, which is God, day and night in his temple, that's God, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. So God is the one that is on the throne, and he's the one that is certainly given his son the throne as well, but the Father is highlighted here in Revelation 7 as the one that is on the throne, the one that has his temple. They serve him, and he's the one that's going to dwell with them. So this is really about God the Father, and I'm so thankful to know more in the Bible about God the Father and his blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Waiting for the next slide. Here it is, Revelation 8, verses 2 through 3. I saw the seven angels which stood before God. That word before is the same word in chapter 1, verse 4, where it talks about there are seven spirits before the throne of God. And so here are the seven angels which are before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel, which I believe is Christ, came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. So now we have another thing before the throne. We have the angels, which are the seven spirits or the seven flames of fire. We have the Son, which is the Lamb before the throne. But now we have the golden altar before the throne. Why is that? Because remember in chapter 3, it says that Jesus Christ will confess us that are in white robes before his Father and before the angels. And so he does that with this golden altar and the incense, because we're praying, we're asking God's blessings, and God is giving us the benefit of hearing us through the mediation and ministration of his Son. I didn't pick it up last time, but in Revelation 5, where it talks about the angel, the 24 elders and the saints that have, rather the 24 elders and the beasts, I think it is, that have the vials full of the prayers of the saints. That right there, having the angels being the ones that hold the prayers of the saints, that shows, according to the Bible, that angels are partakers of communicating between heaven and earth as they descend and ascend, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 51, and Genesis 28, verse 12, where they ascend and descend, keeping up a constant communication between heaven and earth. And they're the ones that have the prayers in their hands. And so I think that's really interesting, really neat. So going to the next slide, it says, Revelation chapter 8, verse 4, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God. There's that same word, which is before his throne, out of the angel's hand. This angel we know, I believe, is Christ, because he's the one standing there actually interceding. He's standing at the altar and he's interceding before the Father, which is before God, before his throne. And so it's the angels that have those vials in their hands, and it's Christ that offers up those prayers to God. So the angels are doing the constant communication, but it's not that the angels are the mediator. That's Christ that is the mediator. And we know that the angels are the ones that communicate, but Christ is the one that offers up our prayers before the Father, because he is the only mediator between God and men. Now, Revelation chapter 9, and I believe it's verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, we know that in Revelation chapter 8, which is the beginning of the trumpets, we have this idea of the angel offering up incense from the golden altar that's before the throne. And here, toward the end of the seven trumpets, we also see that there is this golden altar, which is before God, before the throne. And so I believe that Christ is still there during the time of the beginning of the trumpets, which is the time for the time of Christ's first coming as a human. And then this other time in Revelation 9, it's referring to the golden altar again, showing that Christ is mediating, interceding for us that entire time as time passes from the time he was here the first time until, of course, he's coming the second time. That's the same consistent thought in the book of Revelation. The churches are from the time of Christ until the second coming. The seals are from the time of Christ until the second coming. And the trumpets are from the time of Christ until the second coming. It's three ways you can see the history that God has led his people through while Christ is ministering in the sanctuary. And you can see Christ in the sanctuary in chapter 1 before the churches, in chapter 5 before the seals, and in chapter 8 before the trumpets. And so Christ is there in the sanctuary ministering to us. And of course, the angels are there interceding before the throne, but they're also on the earth. And so that's where this constant communication comes in. I think it's lovely to be able to understand better the book of Revelation. And how? Because I understand the Father and his Son and the ministration of the angels, which is the working of the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Let me emphasize that. The working of the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Revelation chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks stand before the God of the earth." Wait a minute. Revelation chapter 1 said there are seven spirits standing before the throne, before God. Revelation 3 talks about Christ confessing us before God, which is on the throne, and before the angels, which are there before the throne as well. And Christ is there before the throne interceding for us. It talks about Revelation 8, where the angels are before the throne. Now it's talking about these two olive trees, which are before the throne of God, before the God of the earth. Well, we're going to have to go to Zechariah now for a minute. And we're going to understand in verses, chapter 4, verses 4 through 12. "Then answered I," this is Zechariah talking to the angel, "and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And there was no answer that came. And so I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which are which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And so when he asked about the olive trees themselves, there was no answer, because it's the angels are not the focus. It's the ministry of the angels that's the focus, and that's what happens here. And then the angel answered, and he said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And he said, No, Lord. And he says, These are the two anointed ones that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. That's as we continue on. And so I think that's really neat that we can see that in the book Revelation, we have these angels. In fact, I think I'm going to go to that verse again. Yeah, these angels are the two olive trees that are standing before the Lord of the whole earth. And we can see also that these two olive trees are in Revelation, Zechariah chapter 4. And when you read that whole chapter, I want to encourage everybody watching and everybody who sees this later to read the book of Zechariah chapter 4 and understand what it's saying. Don't just read it, but actually pray over it, understand it, ask God to help you to know what that chapter is saying. That chapter is absolutely phenomenal. It's game-changing, because we see that God is using these two anointed ones standing before the God of the whole earth, the Lord of the whole earth. He's using them to pour from themselves the golden oil into this lamp, which is representing the seven churches. And what does that mean? God is sending his angels to minister in behalf of him for these churches, so that we can be filled with that holy oil and can bless others with that holy oil as well. It's similar to what Jesus said in John chapter 7, when he said that, or is it 4? It's 4 and 7. When you put them together, you realize that he's talking about the Holy Ghost. But in chapter 7, verses 37, 38, and 39, he actually says that, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, we know that the ultimate source of water is the Father. The other source is the Son, the secondary source, if you will, because all things are of the Father by the Son. But we know also that we are streamlets of that living water. So because we partake of the living water, there's that living water that actually flows through us. I believe the Bible specifically there teaches that out of as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I believe that's Christ's belly. As we partake of that, we also have the opportunity to be streamlets of that living water. This is the same idea. God has given the ministry to his son, who uses angels to use us, to used by the Lord, so that we can too be streamlets of that golden oil. And so this is not a strange concept. People are saying that, the Bible is teaching that the Holy Spirit does all these things. Yes, God, through the ministration of his spirit, through the mediation of his son, and through the ministration of the holy angels, does these things. And so we have in Zechariah 4 this other idea of who these, what are they called? Two olive trees. These two olive trees are before God. That's that word, before the throne. Continuing on in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 10, and the 24 elders which sat before God, there's that word again, before God, on their seats, they fell upon their faces and they worshiped God. So just because they're on thrones doesn't mean they get worship. They fall off their thrones and they fall on their faces. The word seats means thrones. And they worshiped the God of heaven, the eternal God, the God that has an only begotten son. This is the God they fall down and worship. And so I'm waiting for the next slide here. There it is. Revelation 12, verse 10, I believe it is. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them, where? Before our God, day and night. So, according to the scriptures, I don't have the references here. I didn't even take the time to look it up. But in the book of Job, chapter 1, and also in Chronicles and Kings, and I don't remember where it is. I think it's like 2 Chronicles 17 or 18. I don't remember, though. I'd have to look. I won't do it now, but you can find it. There's a story of King Jehoshaphat, I believe it is, and there's a prophet that comes in named Micaiah, I think his name, it's not Micah, it's Micaiah, I think it is. And he sees this vision of the demons going up and down and speaking before the Lord of the whole earth. And God is like, who's gonna go and put a confused spirit into the minds of these prophets? And one of the spirits is like, I'll do it. He says, all right, go ahead and do it. He allowed him to go. Why? Because the enemy was up there before the cross, and he was able to go and accuse the brethren before, as it says, before our God, day and night. That word before is many times before the throne. And so we have even the enemy there was at times before the throne. But according to Revelation chapter 12, we can see, I think I include those verses. It's that God doesn't have the enemy up there anymore because the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. And it says there, nope, I didn't include that. But you can read it in Revelation chapter 12 and find those references for yourself. The accuser of our brethren, which accused God, accused us before our God day and night, he has been cast down. Now, he was before God, which is before his throne. So before the throne of God, we have the angels first mentioned, the seven spirits, which later in chapter 8 or verse 2, are the seven angels. We have the Lamb there, or Christ, Jesus Christ, mentioned in chapter 1, verse 5. We have the two olive trees. We have even Satan right there, the accuser of our brethren, is before the throne. So it's like the central hub of the universe, of all of creation. That's the throne. And where we get our blessings from, where we get intercession from, where we get the ministration of the angels from, where we get the blessings from God through Christ, through the angels, through others, through even our Bible, through the tools that he uses, the agents. All of those things are from the central hub of all of existence. It's from the Father's throne. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 3. They would be the 144,000. They sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. So now we have the 144,000, as we saw in Revelation chapter 7. And before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. I'm just waiting for the next slide here. Chapter 4, verse 3, I think it is. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Excuse me. They are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And then it says, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So again, these 144,000 are there before the throne. And that's the ultimate goal. We want to be those 144,000 that are in the throne room of God, in the temple of God. We want to be those that are following the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, whithersoever he goeth. So whether he goes high or low, whether he goes into the rich or the poor home, whether he goes to the low class or the high class, wherever he goes, whatever he does, we want to follow him here on this earth so that we can ultimately follow him in heaven and be there before God, before his throne. So I'm very thankful that we have that opportunity to learn a little bit more about this. And we're waiting for the next slide. There we go. Chapter 14, verse 10. Now, this is in the third angel's message. This is like the message that goes to the world, right? The same shall drink, the same being those that have worshipped the beast in his image rather than the Father in his image. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. That's God the Father. Notice that's one of them that's there, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he, the one that worshipped the beast in his image rather than the Father in his image, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence. That's the word before. Same word as we've been seeing that's translated before. That they will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, I want you to notice something. In chapter 1, in verses 4 and 5, we read about the Father, the one who is and was and is to come. We read about the seven spirits, and then we read about Jesus Christ. So that's the order that we read them. The Father, the seven spirits, which are the angels, according to Revelation 8, verse 2, and then Jesus Christ. Here in the third angel's message, we're reading the same thing. There's God that's mentioned, which is underlined. There's the holy angels that are underlined. And then there's the Lamb that's underlined. And this word in the presence, that's the same word as before. So before the seven spirits, the seven spirits, which are before his throne, and Jesus Christ. So I'm not suggesting that the angels are more important than Jesus Christ. Not at all. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I'm finding it interesting that there's that order that's referred to here in the third angel, as it is in Revelation chapter 1, the introduction of the book of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I clicked on the next slide. We're waiting for it now too. Here it is in chapter 15, verse 4. This is in just before the close of probation that's highlighted in this chapter. Who, God, shall not fear thee? Or who shall not fear thee, God, O Lord? And who shall not glorify thy name? For thou art holy. For all nations shall come and worship, there's that word, before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. I believe that his judgments come from his throne. The throne of judgment, the Bible teaches. I think it's in the book of Psalms. There shall be thrones of judgment, thrones of David, I think is what it says. It says in chapter 10 and looking at 16, verse 19. This is at the end of the seven last plagues. The great city was divided into three parts, and the city and the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God. Now, of course, God is on his throne. Give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And that would be, of course, the throne of judgment. And so Babylon now is come up in remembrance. So we have the memory of Babylon before God the Father. They're seated on the throne. All these things are there with the Father near the Father on his throne. It says in chapter 20 and verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, and they stood before God, Okay, so here we have all the dead. Now, they're not the living. These are the dead. Those are the ones that have been consumed by the brightness of Christ's coming before the 1,000 years. This is now at the end of the 1,000 years, toward the end of the book of chapter 20, which is a reference to the 1,000 years. By the way, chapter 20 goes several times through the 1,000 years. It doesn't just go verse one all the way through toward the end and refer to the 1,000 years. It goes from the beginning to the end of the 1,000 years, from the beginning to the end of the 1,000 years, from the beginning to the end of the 1,000 years. I think it's three, maybe four times. I'd have to look at it again, just so when you're studying, you can understand it a little bit better. So here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, all those that are dead, they stand, they're small and great, before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, plural, not the book, singular, according to their works. And so the book singular is the book of life, and they're not judged out of the book of life. They're judged out of the book of their works, which is more than one book. And crazy enough, we all have everything we've done. In fact, you listening to this right now, you brushing your teeth this morning, you heading to church this Sabbath morning, you eating, you interacting with your husband or your children, you watching that what you did or hearing that what you did, every single thing has been written down by recording angels. They keep that constant communication, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, and they record every single thing you do. And you will be judged according to the works that you have done, written in those books that are taken down by the recording angels. I think that's amazing. Here's my last reference. It's in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And it says, I saw, in fact, I think I may have just read that one. And I have a feeling that I may have duplicated that one. And so let me see what I should have recorded there in that verse. No, that's it. Revelation 20, verse 12. So what it's saying is that every one of us will have records. We do have records. And they will come up before the Lord, before the 1,000 years. And or after the 1,000 years. Now, let me explain. If our names are written in the book of life, our names come up before God, before the 1,000 years, and we are judged according to the things that are written in those books. Now, we will have written above our names forgiven, right, with the blood of the Lamb. But if we have not forsaken, if we have not confessed, if we have not turned away from our sins, then our names will come up before the Father after the 1,000 years, because they're going to be before the 1,000 years as well. But here they're going to receive the final retribution of the judgment of God against sin, to finally consume sin, to destroy it forever, so that this universe will be without sin entirely throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity future. And we will be blessed, every one of us that have confessed and forsaken those sins, to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. We will have the honor of being before the throne of God. We'll be able to praise him, casting our crowns before his throne and worshiping him without the temptations of sin and satanic influence. We will be able to have peace and love, unity and safety, perfection throughout all time. And I look forward to that. I want to have those things in my life. I so look forward to having the opportunity to be without sin, to be without temptation, to be without guilt, without confusion or anxiety or fear and all those things. I don't generally wrestle with those things now, but they do come up and I don't like it. I don't like guilt. I don't like walls between me and some person that I love, or some person that I care for, or a family member, or even an enemy. I want those things gone, and therefore I want to completely surrender to God. What about you? I'm hoping and praying that you do. And I pray that in our time now, as we pray, we will be blessed. I won't be able to kneel because I have all this stuff around me, and it would be a little awkward to kind of move everything to be able to kneel, because it just would. So let's bow our heads and we'll pray, asking God's blessings upon us as we made a decision to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, so that we can be before the throne and ultimately, as it says in Revelation 22, see the Father's face. Let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, I ask that you would please bless us as we continue to learn and study. I ask that you would guide us, help us to know what it is that your Spirit is saying to the churches. I pray that you would lead and guide us and help us to completely surrender to your will, to your plan, to be co-workers with the angels, which is co-working with your Son, which is co-working with you. For you are using your Son, who is using his angels, who is using us. We pray you'd continue to bless us that we can know and understand more of what it is that your Spirit is saying. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the book of Revelation. We pray that as we continue to study this book, it will be what inspires us and transforms our life, because your word is spirit and it is life. It is your spirit. It is your life. And we want to have your spirit and your life within us. So as we continue to study your word, help us to be filled with just that. Thank you for this. We pray you'd bless this holy Sabbath day. Continue to guide us all. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you, dear Sister Eva, for having me again. I hope it all turned out well as far as technical issues are concerned.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you so much for making heaven a little bit more real for us.
It was me too. I really enjoyed this, just being able to go through those notes again.
Yeah. You know, I heard Matt Dooley. I heard him this morning, or maybe it was yesterday. And that was the first time I heard that someone thought that the angels were the Holy Spirit. I never heard. Is that the new theory coming in among us? Or?
Well, I know people are saying that I have been teaching that the angels are the Holy Spirit, and I've never taught that. So no. I think what's happening is people are saying that because they've not fully understood what I've said. I know for sure some of the people that have said those things haven't listened to what I've said. By their own admittance, they have told me that they just are too busy. They haven't listened to all sermons, but they think I'm teaching that the angels are the Holy Spirit. That's not fair. So.
No. Well, I'm glad you could clear that out, because I have listened to your sermon about that, and I could, you know, I thought it was wonderful, you know, how God is using the angels to send the Holy Spirit to us and, you know, all this work between heaven and earth.
Yes, praise God. It's absolutely fascinating. See, because as a Trinitarian Seventh-day Adventist pastor for so many years, I never understood the ministration of the angels. Not like I do today. I mean, like, now it's exciting. I'm studying it, and I keep learning more, so I keep wanting to present more. But I always had given the ministration of the angels to a false spirit, a spirit that I called God the Spirit. And it was something that had totally wiped out the need for the angels. And so now I understand that God uses his angels to do the work of his Spirit. And I'm thinking, whoa, this is amazing. So for me, it's so beautiful. And thank you for having me, giving me the opportunity to share.
And I also think it was nice when Matt was emphasizing that the angels call themselves our brethren. The angels are our brethren. You remembered all those verses? I think it was at these three places in Revelation. That when John wanted to bow down and worship, you know, don't worship us. We are your brethren.
That's right. Yes. That's in 19 and also 22. Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
I just have to mention for those who didn't hear, some people came in a little later, probably because of the new web room. Daniel has just come back from India, where he has been presenting, where he was asked to come to present. They probably asked you to come and present about the Holy Spirit, right? Or the Godhead?
They asked me on the Book of Revelation.
Revelation, okay.
Yeah, but I couldn't help but share about the Father and the Son and the Antichrist and the Sabbath, and it was incredible. Yeah.
So, wow, you know, so how many pastors? How many?
37 pastors.
37, wow. So even when you talked about the Sabbath and the mark of the beast and all these things, they still want to have you back.
Yes, in fact, you can see on the Revelation with Daniel Facebook page, there are some testimonies. I haven't posted them all yet. I've got three more to post. But there are, I think, four or five testimonies of pastors that actually made decisions to keep the Seventh-day Sabbath and to worship the one true God. They are Pentecostal or Baptist, or I don't remember the others, but these are, there were, out of the 37 pastors, there was, I guess, myself and Naik. So there was 33 of them that were interdenominational, not 35. So I was missing by calling myself one of the interdenominational, but there's 33 other than Seventh-day Adventist pastors were there, and they learned about the book of Revelation, the Sabbath, the ministration of the angels. They learned about the Father and the Son, and they were quite excited. So I praise God.
Wow. Can you believe when they come to their churches and preach this?
Yeah. In fact, they invited me to come. I went to two or three of their churches. I don't recall. There was so much happening, and India is such a new place. And the travel was crazy, so everywhere we went somewhere, my eyes were wide open looking at everything, because it's not like it is in America.
Many beggars. Did you see much, you know, many poor people?
You know, it seemed that there were just as many as there are here in America where I live, just because there are lots of people and many of them wanted. And you can find the same thing here, but everybody there seemed to have enough clothes, where I was anyways. They were poor. There's no way around that. But they had enough, it seemed. They were taken care of. So God is still extending his hand of mercy.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, Daniel, I want to ask you, how did you like this web room? I think you thought the scriptures were a little bit small for you, just so we can know what we have to find out how to do better here.
Yeah, thank you. The only thing I don't understand fully is how to keep the conversation open, just in case somebody said something. And then also, well, I guess that would have taken care of it. If I would have closed that, it would have made the section where I could read my notes a little bit bigger. And so that would have done it. And then to make it full screen, I guess, would have helped too. Yeah. That was even it, just to make that section full screen. I just didn't have enough time to play around with to know and understand, but
no,
it looks like it's...
We haven't had time for that either. We tried first time yesterday, just the few of us. So, yeah, but please tell us if there is something you think you should have done in another way, or, I mean, we are all learners.
Yeah, thanks. No, this is good. I like it. In fact, I like it better than the other one.
Mm-hmm. Good. Amen.
So, good.
Yeah, well, thank you again, Daniel. Love to have you with us, and make heaven even more real. And thank you for everyone coming. And it's dark outside here, so Sabbath is actually out already. So, but it's probably 7 in the morning your place, right?
It is 7 in the morning, and the sun just rose up a few minutes ago. Yeah,
sounds nice. Great. Yeah. Well, hope to see you soon again.
Thank you, and God bless you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I don't know how to end my session here. I guess some people are still around. God bless you. I'm trying to figure out how to end my session. I guess I could just close the browser.